Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a Ph.D. degree in public policy, M.A. degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschool children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
And a very big welcome to you this morning from Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, this 27th day of September 2005. Very glad you've joined us today. Hope we'll make your day a little bit brighter. And we hope we help you think a little bit better. You know, this is the station that helps you think better. You don't turn to the Tyranny Response Network to get fluff, to simply hear stuff going out over the air that just can fill your mind with goo while you drive along in your car or something. This is going to cause you to ponder, cause you to stop and think. In fact, several callers, have actually told me, look, when the signal got a little bit weak, I needed to pull over and stop and listen to the program that was playing because I was so interested in it. One person actually said, I had to stop, and because the signal was getting poor, I turned around, made a U-turn, and drove towards downtown. And that way I was able to listen to the rest of the show. That's the kind of show we put on here, folks, not only at the Christian Worldview show, but all the other shows in the afternoon. I understand Rip and Richie will be having his show today. It's going to be going on Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, it sounds like, from 4:30 to 6. So if you have a chance to tune in on the drive time on the way home today, you'll be able to hear Rip and Richie's show. You also have the Liberty Minutes programs, which are playing regularly throughout the day. Liberty Minutes are one of our most popular segments. Why? Because they teach you how to think about public policy and about the nature of the state, about nationalism, about the Second Amendment, about our rights, lots of other things. It's all available here on the Tyranny Response Network. But before I go on, we need to go and check the weather, so we're going to go ahead and do that real quick.
Right now in Greenville-Spartanburg, 66 degrees, downtown 68, Anderson 67, Clemson 66. Today is going to be mostly sunny, highs in the mid-80s, and northeast winds 5 to 10 miles per hour.
Indeed, indeed. Now, the tyrannyresponse.com website, remember, has all of the events and so forth that I mentioned here on the show. In fact, there's a calendar of events right under the events tab. If you go to tyrannyresponse.com or tyrannyresponse.net, you'll find out that tomorrow night there's a Libertarian Party meetup at the Cafe Underground, just off of Main Street in downtown Greenville. And also, we have the Greenville County Taxpayers meeting, along with the Constitution Party meeting, on the 29th this month, fifth Thursday this month. That'll be at the downtown Greenville Library, if you're able to attend that. On Tuesday, October 4th, there is Liberty Aplenty happening. That will be the Spartanburg Libertarian Party, and they'll be holding Liberty Aplenty night at the world-famous Beacon Drive-In. So you want to make sure you get there for a get-together of like-minded folks to discuss and debate, heartily debate the issues. There'll also be the Piedmont Interstate Fair. The booth for the Spartanburg Libertarian Party has been reserved as of Friday. The only political party on the list with a booth for the fair. This makes our booth even greater opportunity, they say, for the Spartanburg Libertarian Party to recruit members. The Piedmont Interstate Fair is going to be held Monday, October 10th through Sunday, October 16th. Monday through Sunday, the gates open from 4 to 10 p.m. Saturday, the gates are open from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. And Sunday, 1 p.m. to 10 p.m. So at any rate, those things are all coming up for the Libertarian Party up in Spartanburg. Their regular business meeting up in Spartanburg is going to be October 18th at 6:30 p.m. And we'll make sure we get that on the October calendar. That'll be meeting at the West Side branch of the Spartanburg County Library. So there's some events coming up for you. This Saturday, one last event. The Carolina Patriots have their Greenville meeting down at the Prime Sirloin on Woodruff Road across from the Greenville Mall. So make sure you put that on your calendar as well. Starts at 12:30 for lunch. And the meeting goes from 1 till 3, and sometimes there's a little bit of an extra meeting afterward. But come prepared to learn something and be stimulated to act and transform your culture. That's what it's all about, folks. So, at any rate, tyrannyresponse.com is your stop for information about the important happenings in the upstate. I mentioned a minute ago the Liberty Minutes and how people have written in recently and really like the Liberty Minutes programs. There are several places you can go to get the Liberty Minutes, and they're free to download. James called yesterday and wanted to know how he could buy them. You just get on the internet and download them, save them to your USB key or that little thing is called, a thumb drive, I think it's called, and or you actually can burn them all to a CD-ROM. Either way, distribute them as you will. Help get the knowledge of the truth out there, and this is one way to do it. The Liberty Minutes programs we have available include the following. The difference between government and the state. The nature of the state. The theology of public policy in historical context. The divine ordination of state criminals and legalized crime. Rights, just war, and public policy theology. The theology of public policies of enslavement. Christian views on rebellion, highlighting the American war for independence. Christians and self-defense against criminals, including the state. The Second Amendment and public policy theology. And the theology of nations and nationalism. The next one coming up, which will be probably posted within the next 2 weeks, is Christian Civic Duty. Something like that, at any rate. The title may change slightly, but it's going to be something like Christian Civic Duty. And we're going to have that posted in the next couple of weeks, and then there'll be probably one more in the series, and then you'll have a complete series on the theology of public policy. And that's a wonderful resource for folks. Now, these Liberty Minutes are playing throughout the day after the Christian Worldview show. They play in a routine, all 10 of these, and as soon as we have the 11th one, it will be added as well. They play frequently throughout the day, so stay tuned to the Tyranny Response Network, and you know, when you turn on your radio, you may hit one of these, maybe right in the beginning, or obviously right in the middle, depending on when you turn your radio on. There are no set time necessarily when they're going to be playing, but keep tuned to TRN to understand and think more deeply about the theology of public policy in this area of theology, which is so little worked out among Christians today. So at any rate, that program is available to you, and we're looking forward to having more good comments and good influence on account of the Liberty Minutes programs. Appreciate the calls and letters yesterday. I even had a call after the show from somebody who'd been listening to Liberty Minutes, the latest one on the nature of the state, and has really been enjoying it. Well, here's one of Fox News' top stories of the day. Georgia closes schools to save fuel. Atlanta, the governor's request that Georgia public schools take 2 snow days and close to conserve fuel did not sit well with parents who had to scramble to find babysitters and daycare for their children. Rashid Ahmad said that he probably would have to take the day off from work Monday to look after his 3 daughters, ages 10, 8, and 4. Everyone's rushing to daycare, asking, do you have any vacancy for 2 days, said Ahmad, and they said they don't. It's really bad. Governor Sonny Perdue's request Friday that schools close Monday and Tuesday was prompted by Hurricane Rita, which was bearing down on the oil refineries of the Gulf Coast. Now, this is the same idiotic governor who talked about doing price controls when the gas prices rose, remember? This guy is really not with it. I don't know if he's a Democrat or Republican, but either way, he's really a loser when it comes to economic theory. But for one thing, he doesn't recognize how disruptive it is. Any time you make a massive change by political power, by arbitrary force, so this fellow's concern about finding a babysitter and so forth is important. I mean, this is something that's not just isolated to him. It has widespread effects and distortions that are caused in the economy down in Atlanta or anywhere in Georgia. Now, having said that, however, I'm going to advocate something here that might be a little bit shocking. I think it might not be a bad idea to go ahead and close the public schools for 2 days, or even permanently. I mean, what do we need these things for? All they are is pagan seminaries, as Bruce Short says, indoctrination centers where kids learn how to be little statists, little socialists, little Darwinists, little secular humanists, little environmentalists, understand transgendered alternative lifestyles. I mean, what good is this place? No good. It's not anything that we want to have. The kids come out of there not understanding the principles of the founders and actually working against them. They come out of there not actually understanding the principles of the Bible, but rejecting them and following after other courses. The best thing that could possibly happen is that they close the school. So despite the distortive economic effects, I'm going to say it's a good thing, and I'm glad that they did it, and I'm sorry that people have to suffer with the distortions in the economy, but I think it's actually for their, in my opinion at any rate, it's better for them to not have their kids in the public school. So we applaud the governor's decision, and to that extent, even though that wasn't his intent, and obviously he doesn't know what he's talking about in terms of economics. Now, you know, is it really worth it to us to pay a price like losing a day of work, or even more than that? I mean, how much are we willing to pay right now to close the public school? If you knew for a fact, for instance, if you knew that the public school would be closed and would never open again, if all you did was had to give up $5,000, you go down and get that little credit card out and you cash advance it for $5,000. That's a pretty hefty price. You pay it. It's a one-time deal. The teachers' union goes away. They all get retirement salary for, you know, a number of months, and it closes. How many of us are willing to put our money where our mouth is and say, do it. I'll take the cash advance. I'll go into debt if necessary just to get rid of this evil institution. I would be. I'd do it tomorrow. I'd do it in a heartbeat because it's the right thing to do. Even though it's awful to be extorted in order to close this thing, in order to pay them off, it's still going to be better to get rid of it. So why not do it? I mean, we're going to change our mindset. So people are complaining that they're going to have a little bit of an economic loss to have the school closed for a couple days, and rightly so, because it is distortive. But on the other hand, it's a small price to pay for liberty, folks. The public school is our greatest enemy. It's public enemy number one. We need to eliminate the thing. And if it's costly to do so, so be it. It's sad, but it may be the only way we can get rid of it. It reminds me of a story we've talked about here on Christian Worldview before, from the history of Chile, which is fascinating. And before I say that, I should tell folks the phone numbers here: 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177, or 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. When I was down in Chile, I was told a story by a number of the folks there, who had lived through the communist regime of Salvador Allende before coming, the George Washington of Chile came out, that is, Augusto Pinochet, and he liberated them from the fiend. But at any rate, during this particular time, there were, you know, before where there were communists and so forth, and even before then, there had developed a system of unloading containers with the unionized workers. You know, they didn't, Chile still is the only country, as far as I know, in South America that has mechanized unloading of containers. All the rest of them do it by hand still. And Chile at that time did it by hand, and what would happen is the union wage was so high that was paid to these dock workers that they decided it really wasn't worth it to them to work so much. And there was something that came out called el medio pollo, and that means the half chicken, medio pollo. You say, well, what in the world is the half chicken? Well, the half chicken was an event or phenomenon that went as follows. The guy knew his wage was so high at working at the dock that he would be able to bring a friend along with him to sit and keep him company. That was allowed by union rules. And what he would actually end up doing is paying this guy half of his wage. That's why it's called half chicken. Where he would keep his own half and watch, and the guy, the friend he would bring in that wasn't a member of the union, would get paid the other half. But, you know, and so two people got paid, basically. One guy to sit around and the other guy to work. But the wage was still so high compared to what other people were making that there became out the cuarto pollo, which means the quarter chicken. The guy then who took his half chicken salary would then divide his in half and sit around also and hire another guy to come and do the work. And so you had three people doing being paid to sit there and do this job because of the unionized wage. The union was so powerful and so popular, even though it was devastating to the economy, that they could not be shaken very easily. And after Augusto Pinochet took over, and Salvador Allende killed himself at the communist president, they had to reckon with these unions. How can we bring liberty to this land when we got these unions, these guys sitting at the dock, you know, doing this kind of stuff, for instance? And what they did is they negotiated a deal. Because the union started talking about violence, revolution against Pinochet, and all this stuff. And Pinochet said, look, let's just sit down and talk about this like men. So he gathered the union bosses in one room, and he said, tell you what, how much is it going to cost for you guys just to go away peacefully? Tell your people to disband and the union ends. And then all of a sudden the countenances changed and everything was different. And they started putting their pencil to paper and they found out the figure. And they said, they decided that $125 million check could be written and dispersed and the union would go away. The contract was made, the deal was done, and that was it. So I say that story, why? Because we're talking about the public school here. Sometimes the shortest, surest way to liberty and getting rid of a bad institution as a consequence of sin is to write a check. And one way we can do that here is to simply pay them off. Pay off the bums and let them go away peacefully. And that could be a great thing we could do with the public school. If it's a $5,000 cash advance or otherwise, why not go for it? Sure, it's a debt. Sure, it's a problem. Sure, it's not right. But you know what? If it saves bloodshed, maybe it's worth doing. It may be the best way that we can get rid of the public school. So we rejoice in the fact, anyway, the governor closed the schools down there for 2 days. Good for the Georgia kids who didn't have to attend and get indoctrinated today. So we're happy about that. And you're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We'll be back in just a minute.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time, you're listening to a recording. Calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time. Are you interested in knowing about the faith and legacies of Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson? Check out Warriors of Honor. It's a new DVD produced by New Liberty Videos. You can get a copy of this video by emailing the Tyranny Response Network production staff at production@policyofliberty.net. That's production@policyofliberty.net. It's only $20, and it's well worth it. Take it from me, Dr. John Coben. I've seen this video, Warriors of Honor. It is just outstanding in producing something of value for those who love liberty, who hold to the Christian perspective, and want to be encouraged about our past. Finally, a documentary that is willing to speak plainly about the Christian faith of Jackson and Lee. It is a beautiful and accurate account of two great Southern leaders and a war that forever changed our country. Steve Wilkins.
The Patriot Network is a national federation of local clubs devoted to bringing relief to the oppressed American taxpayer. It is based right here in the South Carolina Upcountry and chaired by Dr. John Coben's associate, legendary freedom warrior Robert Clarkson. Visit our website at patriotnetwork.info for full contact information, meeting times, and locations around the South and beyond. That's Patriot Network, one word, .info. There you can also sample many action reports, current and past issues of our newsletter, and mainstream news features about IRS rot, corruption, and incompetence. Find out what our decades-old organization may be able to do to put a stop to your IRS problems. PatriotNetwork.info commends Dr. John Coben on the founding of the Tyranny Response Network and his unique Christian worldview show, heard weekday mornings right here on TRN. You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network, where we comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable.
Are you tired of politicians who raise taxes, invade your privacy, and assume that you do not have the sense to make your own decisions? Try voting libertarian for a change. Would you like to meet other libertarians? You'll find they're regular people like you, concerned about the state of our republic and willing to act on that concern. Our business meeting is at 6:30 p.m. the second Thursday of the month at the library on Malden Road between the Old Stadium and Lawrence Road. Visitors are welcome. To talk politics, join us for the Libertarian Underground at 8 p.m. on the fourth Wednesday of the month. It's at Cafe Underground just off of Main Street downtown. We'd love to swap ideas with you for restoring limited constitutional government. Thank you for supporting the Libertarian Party and Christian Worldview on the Tyranny Response Network. And just another note, again, that the equivalent meeting of the ones coming up tomorrow night for the Libertarian Party in Greenville is happening also at the Libertarian Party in Spartanburg, and that'll be at the world-famous Beacon Drive-In October 4th at 6:30 p.m. So both towns have events. There are even some down in Clemson and Anderson. Check the calendar on tyrannyresponse.com to find out more details. Well, here's some other another news today. There's always lots of news today, but here's one that says off of Fox News, believe it or not, says, New London mulls the timing of the property seizure. One of the Supreme Court's most controversial decisions is playing out in New London, Connecticut, where homeowners whose property the city wants to take for commercial use now find themselves on the receiving end of some conflicting signals. The people who live in the houses set for seizure by the New London Development Corporation have gotten their notices to move, saying residents must vacate by December 8th, but now the mayor of New London says the letter to vacate should not have been sent out. They jumped the gun, and their attitude has been jumping the gun a lot, and this was like the frosting on the cake, said Mayor Jane Glover. The eviction notices were allowed when Supreme Court ruled to Kelo et al. Versus City of New London that the city can seize private property for economic development project like hotels and office space. The decision was heavily criticized. The New London City Council has also voted no confidence in the city in the development corporation, has demanded the agency's president be fired, but none of the recent events has changed the city council's decision to seize the property. Glover says she still wants the tenants and property owners gone, but only after more bargaining. So now this is kind of one of those feel-good situations for them. You know, like they're saying, you know, we really wanted to slam you guys. We're glad we won. But instead of just really ripping you off and only giving you 40 cents on a dollar for what your house is worth, we're thinking we might want to give you 45 cents. And that's what she means. Don't move out quite yet. Let's give you a little bit more money to make you feel a little bit better and make us feel a little bit less like swine for stealing your property. So that's what's going on up there with this mayor and city council. It's still a barbaric, terrible, anti-American edict that was decreed, and the Supreme Court has followed suit, and probably will continue as soon as the Chief Justice is then appointed and sworn in. It's not going to change, I predict, at any rate. But interesting that that's happening in the news. We can see something else behind the scenes going on up there in the city of New London. Poor Yankees. Do we really feel sorry for Yankees? I mean, they're the ones who really brought this all on us. You know, I don't feel so sorry for Yankees because they're the ones who helped keep Lincoln in power for their own greed. And I know all Yankees weren't bad during the war. I realize that. I'm not saying that they're all evil men. And I'm not saying all Southerners were good men. I'm just saying that the Yankees were the ones that promulgated the war, that allowed it to continue because they didn't revolt and chop the head off of Abraham Lincoln and stop it from the beginning. That's when all this began, folks, under Lincoln's regime. And since then, Yankees have been promoting other evil men, like Ulysses S. Grant. He was one of the most evil presidents we've had in history. And Franklin Roosevelt from New York. These guys are bad news bears, folks. These are bad news people in general. And frankly, the Yankees are getting what they deserve. Unfortunately, it's going to come down here too, and into the beloved Southland. And because the thing is a national or federal regulation or rule, it's bound to make its way down and haunt the people of the South, the good people, other places, instead of just in Yankee land. So we feel sorry for Yankees that this has happened to them, but we also recognize that they brought it upon themselves by giving in to globalist tyranny up there in Yankee land. Here's a note I got from Rebecca Sutherland. I think it's a joke. Pastor's business card. A new pastor was visiting in the homes of his parishioners. At one house, it seems obvious that someone was at home, but no answer came to his repeated knocks at the door. Therefore, he took out a business card and wrote Revelation 3:20 on the back of it and stuck it to the door. When the offering was processed the following Sunday, he found that his card had been returned. Added to it was a cryptic message, Genesis 3:10. Reaching for his Bible to check out the citation, he broke up in gales of laughter. Revelation 3:20 begins, Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Genesis 3:10 reads, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid, for I was naked. Remember when the funniest jokes were the clean ones, they still are. A cheerful heart is good medicine, Proverbs 17:22, now pass it on. That is a good joke. Have to admit, that's pretty funny, using the scripture to talk. I have a good friend in California, Paul, who's been there for his entire life, and he has met a number of interesting people. He's a Reformed Baptist, and in his church there was a guy who visited one time. He told me that was so concerned about being godly that the only thing he would speak is the Bible, and he would actually search the scriptures to find phrases like this so that he could be speaking God's word in his everyday language. So, you know, I heard your voice in the garden, for I was naked, or whatever it was, you know, I was in the shower, so I couldn't come to the door. You know, whatever he's trying to say, he had to try to pick it out of the Bible, and it was extreme bondage for the guy, if you can imagine. Although, I suppose it's a good exercise in reading the Bible. I mean, you really get to know a lot of the Bible pretty well, but, you know, folks, there are a lot of phrases you have to use that aren't found in the Bible, like, use the bulldozer to tear down the skyscraper. You know, you're not going to find it in the scriptures, folks. I mean, it's a crazy idea. But it reminded me of this funny joke here, that people sometimes use the Bible in that way. I think they have to go out of their way to speak that way. Not too many people like that. I'm sure he doesn't do it anymore. There's just no way you could possibly maintain that for more than, 4 months? I think he had several months that he tried to maintain that posture. Well, here's some government musings, which I thought was quite interesting. I forgot who sent this to me. I think this might have come from... I thought at first it might have come from Libertarian Christians, but it may not. I'm not sure where I give the credit due here, but it's another little joke type thing. It says, government musings. Suppose you were an idiot, and suppose you were a member of Congress, but then I repeat myself. And that was from Mark Twain. That's right, Mark Twain. Number two, he says, I contend that for a nation to try to tax itself into prosperity is like a man standing in a bucket and trying to lift himself up by the handle. That was Winston Churchill. We'll come back to a couple of these in a minute. We have a caller on the line. I want to go right to the phone lines. We'd like to welcome you to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Who am I speaking with?
Hey, good morning. It's Chuck.
Hey, Chuck. Good morning. Good to hear from you.
That's good to hear from you. What's new?
Well, right now we're just talking about some quips from Mark Twain and Winston Churchill. Suppose you're an idiot and suppose you're a member of Congress, but then I repeat myself. And we've also read another joke that Reb Sutherland sent in that was pretty good. And we were talking about the closure of the public school and how the half chickens and quarter chickens in Chile related to unionization and whether or not it would be a good idea just to pay them off. Actually, if we all took a cash advance of $5,000 to get rid of the public school, would we all be willing to do it? You know, why not? Just get the cash advance, take on to debt, and eliminate the thing. It'd be the greatest charge for liberty. We've also talked about New London this morning and the mayor. They're feeling badly about people getting ripped off so bad, so wanting to allow some what she calls negotiation time before they rip them off up there and give them a little more loot. Instead of
yes, we have a lot of people who suffer in situations like New London. I've been wondering a lot lately too about outsourcing, and it seems like we've got a headlong rush to take jobs and move them overseas, although I do suspect that that's being overhyped in the media.
Well, it has been overhyped. I think it's I'll tell you what, the outsourcing idea, I'm getting a lot of background noise on this, so I'm going to have to turn it down a little bit. Chuck, we're getting a lot of background noise from your car. So I'm going to tune you down a little bit while I'm speaking, all right, because it just comes over the air so strongly that it blocks out the signal here when you got a car driving by or something. But at any rate, yeah, outsourcing is not as big a problem as people claim that it is. It's used effectively to get people to rally against the FTAA, which is a good thing to rally against because it's a globalist policy. But the idea of outsourcing being bad in and of itself is simply flawed economically. Anytime you have a new way of doing things that makes the economy more efficient, it's better, even though it causes some people to be retrained and so forth. And I think the media blows it way out of proportion when they talk about it. Now, that's not to say I like getting on the phone with people from India and the Philippines, as I have recently, and try to talk technical problems with them. But I, as a consumer, then have the choice to not do business with that company. And when I do that, I send a signal to that company that we don't like outsourcing technical support. And that's another way to combat it in the market. You don't need to have the state intervene. The market hasn't failed. So long and the short of it is, Chuck, I don't think outsourcing is as big a problem as the media makes it out to be.
Yeah, I think to some extent it corrects itself. I know in my own company we've done some outsourcing, exactly what you said, found people who didn't speak English well enough and pulled back. And I've also been aware of some companies that went to Mexico and found that the infrastructure there didn't really meet their needs. They actually needed the power to stay on around the clock, and they needed people who would show up when they said they would, et cetera.
Yeah, and so it is a self-correcting mechanism in that sense, and that's the case frequently.
Yeah, it's interesting that you mentioned Mark Twain. I'm reading a book right now by Harry Turtledove called How Few Remain, and it's an alternate history of what would have been like 20 years after the Civil War was won by the South. And one of the main characters, the most fun characters, is Mark Twain in there. And can you imagine putting yourself in the position of having to write Mark Twain's dialogue?
Huh. Yeah,
that'd be a challenge, wouldn't it?
That sure would be. That would be very, very interesting. And it would be a tough assignment, but it'd be fun, I would think.
I think so. And he rises to the occasion. He does a very nice job on it, and you could swear it's genuine.
Good. Okay. Well, appreciate that input.
You're welcome. I recommend Turtledove. I've been a little bit surprised. I was kind of expecting that he was going to be harder on the North than he is. And reading it, I have to say he's pretty balanced.
Okay.
But one big surprise in that book, after having read The Real Lincoln and then seeing what he does with Lincoln, he has Lincoln being a Marxist in this book.
Well, that's good, because he was basically a Marxist, and the Marxist regime came to his aid, but... Anyway, we've come to the top of the hour here. I suppose we should take our regular break, and I think we're actually over time. My producer sort of giving me the sign here. So.
Okay. Good talking to you.
Okay, Chuck. We'll talk to you again soon. Thanks for calling.
Bye.
And you're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We'll be back in just a minute.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time you're listening to a recording, calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time. You're listening to homeschooler-friendly TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. The Bill of Rights, the first 10 amendments of the American Constitution. Amendment 1. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedoms of speech or of the press, or of the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Amendment 2. A well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Amendment 3. No soldier shall, in time of peace, be quartered in any house without the consent of the owner, nor in time of war, but in a manner to be prescribed by law. Amendment 4. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrants shall issue, but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. Amendment 5. No person shall be held to answer for a capital or otherwise infamous crime unless on presentment or indictment of a grand jury, except in cases arising in the land or naval forces, or in the militia, when in actual service in time of war or public danger, nor shall any person be subject to the same offense to be twice put in jeopardy of life or limb, nor shall be compelled in any criminal case to be a witness against himself, nor be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, nor shall private property be taken for public use without just compensation. Amendment 6. In all criminal prosecutions, the accused shall enjoy the right to a speedy and public trial by an impartial jury of the state and district wherein the crime shall have been committed, which district shall have been previously ascertained by law, and to be informed of the nature and cause of the accusation, to be confronted with the witnesses against him, to have compulsory process for obtaining witnesses in his favor, and to have the assistance of counsel for his defense. Amendment 7. In suits at common law, where the value in controversy shall exceed $20, the right of trial by jury shall be preserved, and no fact tried by a jury shall be otherwise re-examined in any court of the United States than according to the rules of the common law. Amendment 8. Excessive bail shall not be required, nor excessive fines imposed, nor cruel and unusual punishments inflicted. Amendment 9. The enumeration in the Constitution of certain rights shall not be construed to deny or disparage others retained by the people. Amendment 10. The powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited by it to the states, are reserved to the states respectively, or to the people.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview this 27th day of September 2005. Did you know a government which robs Peter to pay Paul can always depend on the support of Paul? That's what George Bernard Shaw said. Or that a liberal is someone who feels a great debt to his fellow man, which debts he proposes to pay off with your money, G. Gordon Liddy says. And democracy must be something more than two wolves and a sheep voting for what to have for dinner, according to James Bovard in his book Civil Libertarian, 1994. Before we go on and read a few more of these juicy quips, let's go ahead and check the weather.
Right now in Greenville, Spartanburg, 65 degrees, downtown 69, Anderson 66, Clemson 67. Today it's going to be mostly sunny, highs in the mid-80s, and northeast winds 5 to 10 miles per hour.
And we have a few other interesting quips here. Foreign aid must be defined as a transfer of money from poor people in rich countries to rich people in poor countries, Douglas Casey, classmate of Bill Clinton at Georgetown University, said. Giving money and power to government is like giving whiskey and car keys to teenage boys who attend public schools, P.J. O'Rourke says in The Civil Libertarian. Government is the great fiction, says Frederick Bastiat, through which everybody endeavors to live at the expense of everyone else, French economist from 1801 to 1850. Government's view of the economy, says Ronald Reagan, could be summed up in a few short phrases. If it moves, tax it. If it keeps moving, regulate it. And if it stops moving, subsidize it. Will Rogers said, I don't make jokes. I just watch the government and report the facts. P.J. O'Rourke said, if you think health care is expensive now, wait till you see what it costs when it's free. Voltaire in 1764 said, in general, the art of government consists of taking as much money as possible from one party from the citizens to give it to the other. Pericles in 430 B.C. said, just because you don't take an interest in politics doesn't mean that politics won't take an interest in you. Mark Twain says, no man's life, liberty, or property is safe when the legislature is in session, 1866. Talk is cheap, except when Congress does it. And that's an unknown quote. Government is like a baby's alimentary canal, says Ronald Reagan, with happy appetite at one end and no responsibility at the other. Winston Churchill said, the inherent vice of capitalism is the unequal sharing of the blessings. The inherent blessings of socialism is equal sharing of misery. Good point. The only difference between a taxman and a taxidermist is that the taxidermist leaves the skin, says Mark Twain. The ultimate result of shielding men from the effects of folly is to fill the world with fools, says Herbert Spencer, English philosopher, 1820 to 1903. Mark Twain says there is no distinctly Native American criminal class, save Congress. And what this country needs are more unemployed politicians, said Edward Langley Artist, 1928-1995. Finally, Thomas Jefferson said, a government big enough to give you everything you want is strong enough to take everything you have. Great quotations. You know, almost all these quotations are available, too, on the policyofliberty.net website. If you go to policyofliberty.net and scroll down or select the quotations tab, you'll be able to have a bunch of subcategories, and most of those quotations are right there under the first link under philosophy, political philosophy quotations. Hope you have a chance to visit Policy of Liberty soon. You're also invited to a workshop hosted by Mr. Ed Waller on Peter Hendrickson's book, Cracking the Code, The Fascinating Truth About Taxation in America, on Saturday, October 1st, from 1 p.m. to 5 p.m. at the Mills River Community Center near Asheville Airport, North Carolina. The cost for the workshop is $75 per person, $125 prepaid, or $100 per person at the door, cash only. And the Internal Revenue Code is written to be lawful. Ordinary words are redefined to have special meanings and leads one to believe it applies to him. Come learn the truth. A workbook will be provided for future reference as well as hands-on practice. For more information or to register, email Ed Waller at ctcwarriors@bellsouth.net. That's ctcwarriors@bellsouth.net. Or you can phone him up in Asheville at 828-684-3365. That's 828-684-3365. October 1st, 1 o'clock, if you can make it out to this workshop on Peter Hendrickson's Cracking the Code, The Fascinating Truth About Taxation in America. Apparently, he just won a couple of cases not too long ago. We read about them on yesterday's Christian Worldview show to some extent. We also have to remind you folks that on the tyrannyresponse.com website, there are a couple of tabs of interest. One is the Related Media tab, and under the Related Media tab, there is the South Carolina Fundamental Rights Petition. It'll only take you 30 seconds to log on to this. Go to tyrannyresponse.com or tyrannyresponse.net and click on the tab that says Related Media. Scroll to the bottom. Click on South Carolina Fundamental Rights to save your private property, and sign the petition. Take you 30 seconds to do it, and you'll have help a little bit in the promotion of liberty here in the upstate. We also hope you'll click on the contact tab while you're there at the website and volunteer to help out those folks at the Tyranny Response Network, either financially or by donating an hour of your time a month for technological skills for technological jobs that we need frequently, including producing on occasion the Christian Worldview show. So if you could help, click on the contacts tab, find somebody's name there, and send them an email. Well, here's something that's fascinating. I think it's interesting, to say the least. Yesterday at the Americans for Constitutional Government meeting in Greenville, which I attend, I try to attend it every month when it comes up. Good folks there. I'm the youngest person in the audience almost always, unless there's a homeschool kid that's brought along, like there was one yesterday. Because, it's, you know, most people have to work during the day. And I do too, but because this is part of my job, I make sure I can spend a couple hours a month during the middle of the day doing stuff like this. So anyway, I'm over there at the Sims Library listening to some people talk. And at the end of the discussion, somebody brings up to me more information on how they believe the government of the United States, the state here, creates hurricanes and natural disasters. Now, I chuckle when I first hear this because it just sounds to me like it's so preposterous, okay? But I told them, I said, now look, I am willing to think outside the box. And although it sounds preposterous to me that governments would create could have the ability to create a hurricane or several hurricanes, I'm willing to listen. And so they handed me a bunch of links to look up, which I will do in due course. But they also handed me an article in print here. And this came from Popular Science, October 2005. At the bottom of page 42 of that magazine, it says, 2010 jet engines alleviate drought in Texas. A team of scientists has created the first man-made rainstorm using recycled jet engines to jumpstart cloud formation. The Rainmaker consists of 12 turbofan engines vertically mounted on a barge in the Gulf of Mexico. The engines suck in warm, humid sea air and blast the vapors high into the atmosphere. The rising plumes cool and condense to form rain clouds, which then travel inland. The resulting thunderstorms provide on-demand relief for drought-stricken communities all across coastal Texas. By 2020, scientists expect to deploy multiple barges in the Caribbean Ocean and use the increased engine power to draw energy away from developing hurricanes. Okay, so Moshe Alomaro is a mechanical engineer and atmospheric scientist at the Harvard MIT Division of Health Sciences and Technology. He studies weather production or modification strategies for mitigating drought and hurricanes. All right, now, attached to this, they gave me something even more interesting. Senate Bill 517 in the 109th Congress that has to do with weather modification. It says here, in the Senate of the United States, March 3rd, 2005, Mrs. Hutchinson introduced the following bill, and it's to establish weather modification operations and research board for other purposes. Now, this sounds pretty unbelievable. Okay, so we're going to talk more about this. We want to hear your phone calls if you know something about government creating hurricanes for sure this morning. But when we come back from this break, I'm going to go a little further and read some more about this bill that they handed me about weather creation. Because obviously if there's something in popular science, it looks more like an ad than a story, by the way. It looks like a little ad at the bottom of the page. It's not scientific necessarily, but it is out there. It's even being printed in popular science, and there's a bill in Congress about it. Well, maybe it's something we can consider, and why not? You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. When we come back, we'll continue with this, and so stay tuned.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time, you're listening to a recording. Calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time.
Sick of having the dead flies of bad public policy stink up the ointment of American liberty? The follies and foibles of the political sages of our day are plucked out daily on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9 o'clock, right here on 97.7 FM in Greenville.
This is Dr. John Coben from Christian Worldview. You know, a lot of my listeners call and ask me about allodial land titles, covenant marriage, and other topics of importance to Christians who love liberty. Many of these things I've written about at the policyofliberty.net bookstore called Alertness Books. We invite you to visit the Alertness Books bookstore today and pick up the materials that will help you learn the truth and be free. Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Glad you joined us this morning. Let me remind you quickly about our friends at the Times Examiner. If you're tired of reading liberal columnists, get a full year subscription to the Times Examiner. It's only $25 in-state and $27 out-of-state. The Times Examiner supports home and Christian schooling, limited government, free markets, private property rights, gun ownership, Christian values, and our great Southern heritage. You can call and get a copy at 864-268-0576. That's 864-268-0576. If you want to place an ad in the Times Examiner, hope you will, support that great little paper and help your business as well. You can do so by calling David, asking for him by name at 859-6817. That's 864-859-6817. Hope you do so and support a great paper and get on the subscription list if you're not on it already. Well, Brian Morton had sent. I really wanted to go in and talk about Brian Morton's article here because this is something that's so important. But you know, I got to go back first and talk about this other thing, this weather modification research bill. All right, this act is going to be entitled the Weather Modification Research and Technology Transfer Authorization Act of 2005. The purpose of this act is to develop and implement a comprehensive and coordinated national weather modification policy and a national cooperative federal and state program of weather modification research and development. And then it goes on, talks about who the board, the executive director are, what weather modification means, and so forth. And then duties of the board are as follows. Promotion of research and development. In order to assist in expanding the theoretical and practical knowledge of weather modification, the board shall promote and fund research and development studies and investigations with respect to, one, improved forecast and decision-making technologies for weather modification operations, including tailored computer workstations and software and new observation systems with remote sensors, and, two, assessments and evaluations of the efficiency of weather modification, both purposeful, including cloud seeding operations, and inadvertent, including downwind effects and anthropogenic effects. And so they're going to have provide expenses for the administration and to develop these weather modification grants. And it talks about the powers of the board and how it's going to cooperate with different departments within the United States. Now, what is weather modification? Well, let me read that one section of the bill again. It says, the term weather modification means changing or controlling or attempting to change or control by artificial methods the natural development of atmospheric cloud forms or precipitation forms which occur in the atmosphere. Well, that's interesting stuff. That is an interesting thing to do, at least you would think so. That doesn't mean that government should be doing this or the state should be involved with this. I don't believe that it should. On the other hand, it's really a far stretch to believe that because you can sort of seed clouds or somehow create cloud systems that might bring rain, that all of a sudden you're talking about governments creating hurricanes. Hurricanes are a totally different phenomenon, folks. And I've heard people say this about earthquakes, too, and tornadoes. Government or the state can create it. It sounds really far-fetched to me. Unfortunately, I noticed, by the way, that our main phone line is down. Our soft phone is not working, so you're going to have to use the backup line at 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Looks like it's our only reliable phone this morning. I'm not sure what the problem is with the soft phone, but at any rate, if you have trouble getting through on it, try the backup, which is 864-201-6955, especially if you have something to say about governments creating hurricanes. Okay, I shouldn't chuckle because maybe it's true. Maybe I've just been in the dark all along here and the state is really responsible for trashing New Orleans. Now, let's think about the economics and incentives of that. Is there an incentive for government or the state to create a hurricane that kills New Orleans and then attacks Beaumont, Texas, and whatnot? Is there an incentive? Well, I suppose the government is a great beneficiary of this because it entails fear. You know, it creates fear. So I can see that. Creates more of a perceived need for the state, a bigger state, more funding for the state, so that people can be saved from all these things by the omnipotent government. So perhaps there is a motive to do it. I can grant that. Although the destruction, big time destruction of a city, and the cost of doing that, I guess you could do it once or twice and have the motive carried out, couldn't you? Because it'd be costly, you know, once or twice, and then from that point on, people remember. You don't have to do it once every 10 years or something to shock people again into why they need the state more. could be, but technologically, how do you create hurricanes and natural disasters and volcanoes and anything else? I mean, come on. Some things are just really far out there and beyond the scope of what the Tyranny Response Unit can possibly grasp, but I'm willing to listen. So if you have some information about it, do give us a call. Well, we have here the voluntary community. This was sent in by Brian Morton at libertarianchristians.org. It's one of his favorite articles, he said. It appears on lewrockwell.com, and it is written by Jonathan Liem, L-I-E-M, the voluntary community. He says in the introduction of this little article, the difference between conservatism and libertinism lies in the dichotomy of the two camps' philosophies. The conservative believes in a virtuous community in which the authority vested in the state plays a part in ensuring compliance with communal norms. In opposition, the libertine believes in unreserved freedom for the individual as the sole communal purpose, regardless of accepted communal behavior. Both philosophies have admirable attributes, but if practiced in isolation, leave us either with totalitarianism or an atomistic individualism. Neither of these options is very appealing. libertarianism attempts to bridge the gap between these two polar opposite philosophies with a workable model that ensures virtue without an omnipotent state. In order to begin constructing a workable model, we must begin with the smallest sovereign entity, the individual human. Every individual is born of one another, and through this relationship forms a family, the smallest human community. It is the family acting as the sole role, and this role as educator, that teaches religion, morality, tradition, culture, accumulated intellectual capital, etc. Furthermore, the family nurtures, monitors, and guides its offspring, thus becoming the first and most essential communal entity to act as a restraining force upon the degenerating forces of libertinism. Granted, nobody voluntarily joins a family. However, in the vast majority of cases, one voluntarily decides to remain a member. Human beings are social animals that require interaction with fellow humans in order to live beyond bare subsistence levels. And in the conclusion of his article, he says, every removal of subsidiarity from the regulation of the community by the ever-expanding state displaces the human being from what that would grounded him in the wholesale relationships. This loss of wholesale relationships has unleashed the atomistic individualism of libertinism. Thus, the state is responsible for the degeneracy of today's community. The state has neutered the role of that the voluntary community plays in the natural authority that regulates human regulation and replaced it with the unnatural authority of the omnipotent state. Its political shenanigans and relativistic moral center based upon pride, envy, gluttony, lust, anger, greed, and sloth. The irony of the entire experience is that working towards the virtuous community through the mechanism of the state, the conservatives have in actuality ensured the supremacy of libertinism. Now, this is a very fascinating concept. What he's basically saying is, look, if we're going to keep pushing for state-sponsored morality, whether it's prohibiting prostitution, the lottery, or all sorts of other things that are there, even among a Constitution Party, if we keep pushing those buttons, we're going to push sinners more and more to behave in a libertine manner. And the only way to stop that is to go towards a more totalitarian type of a state, which is not something that we'd want. And that's one reason I agree with what he's saying, that I think that the pro-life libertarian position is the superior position. Not that the Constitution Party and the pro-life libertarian camp have that much indifference. Okay, there is some, though. If you listen to Michael Perutka during the day, you'll notice there's some differences between him and me and perhaps some of the others that are being heard over the air every day. But so what? Okay, there's some small, relatively minor disagreements. Nevertheless, I think theoretically the Constitution Party and its push for morality, and certainly the false pushes for morality and virtue in society of the Republican Party, will either lead to totalitarianism or increase in libertinism, and will not achieve the virtue of society. Why? Because the state is not the proper agent. I don't believe the state is the proper agent to enact morality, to uphold it, to legislate it, to promote it, in any way advocate it in society. All the state can do, or the government should do, is react to crimes caused by predators or predatory activity. That's all they can do. They cannot be proactive in any way, including the redistribution of wealth or the changing of behavior, because they're not equipped to do it. And theologically, because it's evil by nature, there's no way that we can expect to get blood out of a turnip, or, as Christ would say, fresh water out of a salty spring. Just can't happen. So this voluntary community by Jonathan Lim, I think, is an excellent article, and I do appreciate what he has to say. In fact, I'm going to add it to my favorites. How's that? The Voluntary Community by Jonathan Lim. Good stuff. You are listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. I know we're coming close to a break here. I think we might go ahead and jump to that right now. I want to remind you that Rip and Ripji's show is coming up this afternoon at 4:30. Hope on your drive time home you'll be able to have a chance to listen. Also, check out tyrannyresponse.net and see all the new stuff that's there, and policyofliberty.net. There's some new things being added all the time, and we have a new facelift on tyrannyresponse.net and tyrannyresponse.com, which is just tremendous, thanks to Rip and Ripji. So tune into his show this afternoon, and we'll be back in just a minute after this break.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time you're listening to a recording, calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time. This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net, that's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
There is a place for government in the affairs of men, and our Declaration of Independence tells us precisely what that is. The role of government is to protect individuals in their God-given individual rights. Freedom is the natural birthright of man, but all that government can do in behalf of freedom is to let the individual alone, and it should secure him his rights by making others let him alone. Reverend Edmund Oppitz, in The Libertarian Theology of Freedom, page 142.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
You're listening to the Tyranny Response Network, sensible radio that knows that open rebuke is better than love carefully concealed. It's time for your next shock treatment. Dr. John Cohen is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds several advanced degrees, including a Ph.D. in public policy and an M.A. in economics from George Mason University in Fairfax, Virginia, and an M.A. in business economics from the University of California at Santa Barbara. He is also a graduate of Reformed Bible College in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schooling, government regulation, IRS abuses, state monetary policy, welfare programs, and abortion. His latest scholarly articles and books include Abortion Policy and the Market, Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, and a primer on modern themes in free market economics and policy. An evangelical Christian and father of 6 homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace.
TRN is wonderful. I only wish that Germany had the great heritage of liberty that America has.
We welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. It looks like we have a speech coming up here. Where is this thing coming up? Actually, I'm going to have to write to the research staff and find out where this judge, Billy Wilkins of the Fourth Circuit, is going to be speaking. Somewhere at 7 p.m. on the 29th. That's Thursday this week. Sounds like it might be something of interest to go to, especially because he's on the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals and relates to so many people who are involved with tax cases in South Carolina or North Carolina and other kinds of cases. It might be interesting to find out. We'll update you on this. Apparently, he's going to be speaking here somewhere nearby at a university, perhaps at the University of South Carolina Upstate, though I'm not sure. Oh, no. Bob Jones, looks like. This is at a Bob Jones meeting, September 29th, 7 p.m., in the FMA, whatever that is. So if you're interested in hearing a Fourth Circuit judge speak, you might want to show up at Bob Jones University. Could be of interest. Chuck Baldwin says China is preparing for war, and a few notice. He's one of our favorites to read, Chuck Baldwin. He says, ever since President Richard Nixon exited into detente with the communist regime of China, America has doggedly insisted in the commercial and military buildup of the Marxist nation. Both Republican and Democratic administrations have mollycoddled the Red Chinese to the point they now have grown big enough to cause serious concern. Both Bill Clinton and George W. Bush have facilitated the transfers of billions of dollars of commercial assistance to Red China, not to mention vast amounts of technology which China has used to further its military machine. Each president refuses to identify China as an adversary, choosing rather to call it a trading partner. However, China has not been hesitant to use its assistance to construct formidable military apparatus. At the same time, the U.S. seems determined to reduce our military, especially our Navy, to dangerously low levels. Well, this is interesting stuff. And, you know, what do we think about mainland China? Well, it's an important thing to consider. But before we do, we have a caller on the line. We'd like to welcome you to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Who am I speaking with?
How you doing, John? This is James out of Spartanburg again. I just want to make a comment on that thing about the hurricane.
Yeah, go right ahead.
Now, I knew back in the 70s, I read an article where they were dropping like that sulfuric dye and stuff in those hurricanes to try to slow them down, but I ain't never heard of anything that they had something to control the weather. I know they've been trying to slow them down with different chemicals and stuff like that, but nothing about controlling it. I don't know if you ever heard of that or read about that or not, but I know they used to drop them dyes and stuff inside them hurricanes to try to slow them down.
Yeah, well, there's always been attempts by people in this field to alter something that's coming at them, you know, or to, like in the article we read, to create clouds to bring rain, you know, perhaps, but to actually like plan a hurricane, say I'm gonna, you know, off the coast of Africa, we're gonna do something there that's gonna generate a swirling hurricane that's going to somehow, you know, hit the United States. We're going to have some idea where he's going to hit. That seems really far-fetched. I mean, it's almost like people are living in a dream world. They think government can actually do that. That's what it seems to me. It's just so bizarre. But I'm willing to listen. If there's really a scientific reason for it. I'm not a meteorologist or anything close, a climatologist, hydrologist. I don't know anything about all those fields. And maybe there really is some truth to the matter, and that's why I brought it up.
Right. I just think that, you know, the government does a lot of things, and, I know people want to blame the government, you know, for a freak of nature. But I think, you know, that it's God's own finger, doing stuff to wake up the world and, you know, but I don't think they can control anything, you know, the government to make things happen weather-wise, but that's what I think. I think it's just God's finger working and making these moves. And I was thinking that thing about New Orleans. If you remember correctly, they had that Mardi Gras or whatever down there. You know, that's like Sin City down there. And I think that was a warning to New Orleans down there.
Well, it may well be, and we know what you just said agrees with the scripture that says, I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create calamity. I, the Lord, do all these things. That's Isaiah 45, verse 7. So God is indeed in charge of the hurricanes. We don't have any doubt about that. Well, the question, of course, is whether the state can do it. And as far as the moral condition of the city, well, it's pretty pathetic in New Orleans. That's for sure. But one wonders then why God selectively judged New Orleans and not San Francisco or Greenwich Village or, you know, West Hollywood or a number of other places that are equally, if not worse, equally as bad or worse. And so I have some questions about whether it was just the direct judgment of God for sure, although I wouldn't rule it out. I mean, God might well use a storm to
well, judge you can people. Look at California, the earthquake. It happened in San Francisco. I mean, you know, that was devastating there too. There's things happening all over the place, you know, and I think it's just warnings, you know. I believe, you know, that Twin Towers was a terrorist act, but I think God allowed it to happen to wake up New York. You know, but I just wanted to make that comment about that, them dropping them chemicals inside them hurricanes there. I read an article about that. They've been doing that since the 1970s.
Right.
Because you were talking that that you just wanting to know any information about it. That's all I know about it. But I really appreciate your show. Thank you for being on, and God bless you, man.
Okay, thanks, and thanks for help spreading the word up in Spartanburg. We've only been on the air in Spartanburg for less than a week now. We appreciate your work and efforts there, James. Well, this is an interesting topic, folks, and we're glad we're able to discuss it here on the show. I have a hard time believing that government can control nature like that and actually create hurricanes and earthquakes and so forth. But thanks for the call, James, and letting us know the information about the dying or dropping dyes or whatever it was inside of storms. Interesting stuff for sure. Well, we were talking before James called about China. And Chuck Baldwin in his article recently ends as follows. So while the United States continues to expend its manpower and monies on a mouse-sized threat in Iraq, it's virtually ignoring no worse than that. It is commercially aiding and abetting our most serious threat, communist China. Just about everything we buy these days is stamped "Made in China." Major American corporations have moved and are moving their plants and operations to China. And all of this is being encouraged by our own government in Washington, D.C. Lenin was right. We are purchasing the rope which will be used to hang us. Well, it is an interesting topic of discussion to talk about China. Now, communism is a bad deal. But you know what? So is George Bushism, for that matter. Not saying it's as bad as totalitarian communist. And certainly it was not as bad as living under Mao. But nevertheless, big government interventionist states like the United States and like China are a problem for people. They're a threat to humanity, and they are serious threats. And we should not be aiding and abetting China, the Chinese government. We should be doing all we can to help the Chinese people. I don't have any problem with the Chinese people in and of themselves because they're living under the horrible state, the conditions that they are there. But Chuck Baldwin may have a point here in that we are giving them just so much aid that's going to end up really biting us in the backside before long, because they're going to be threatening us. But why would they? That's another question. What motive does mainland China have to threaten us? Do they really want to spread their communist ideals? Seems like they might be backing away from strict Maoism or Leninism or Marxism in favor of a more milder interventionism. They're sort of slowly going that direction, trying to get towards what the United States has. I may be wrong about that. I'd be interested to know if anybody has some comments about the recent tyrannies and so forth, if there are any, in China. I know the church has not done very well over there. It's suffered greatly at the hand of the evil state, but that's the truth everywhere. The state is always the enemy of the church, and so aren't really surprised when we see that kind of stuff going on. Well, perhaps a caller will have a comment on China as well. Here we have another story. Article comes from TomFlocco.com. That's FLOCCO.com. And it's a 9/11 crash victim, Barbara Olson, arrested in Europe. And I don't know what TomFlocco.com is, but we're about to find out something that could be considered a little kooky. We'll see. Germany, September 22nd, 2005. French and American intelligence agents have arrested Barbara Olson, the wife of former Bush administration official, a few days ago on the Polish-German border. According to agents close to and acknowledged with knowledge of the incident, the alleged 9/11 Pentagon crash victim was found to be in possession of millions of fake interbank Italian lira currency, according to the agents. Olson was also reportedly in possession of a fraudulent Vatican passport, was held on charges of counterfeiting. The former Fox TV News commentator and independent women's forum activist was said to have called her husband, Theodore Olson, from her plane to seek help in countering hijackers who had allegedly taken over American Flight 77, which Bush administration said was crashed into the Pentagon, although the impact, the only thing left, and it was approximately 16 feet across. Anyway, so here's someone saying that, you see, the plane really didn't crash. What we have from American Flight 77 was that people got off and were sent to Europe, the Polish-German border. And here's proof of one woman that's there. She was caught counterfeiting. Of course, she was a former Fox News, whatever else, you know, correspondent. It's got a picture of her on here. Okay, so here's how many people were on the plane, and how can you keep all of them under wraps somewhere else so that they keep the conspiracy going? I guess that's what it comes down to. You've got, if there was a conspiracy, this is one of the questions I asked before, there really was a conspiracy, a plane didn't hit it, it was a drone first, followed by a missile, or a missile first, followed by a drone, or just a missile, you know, all these theories that it really wasn't a plane, the plane's not there. Even though people have seen the wings and things on the ground, they said, okay, it's gotta be a missile, it was only 2 feet off the ground, 757s don't fly that low. Where are the people? That's what I want to ask. If they're still alive, they're really, that flight really existed, and the plane didn't crash, where are the people? Well, here's an answer to one. It's a woman over in Poland on the German-Polish border. But it doesn't make sense to me how you could keep so many people under wraps. That's my question. How in the world can you pull off the conspiracy here, folks? Did you kill them all? Or, I mean, somebody's got to come up with some answer to where the people went. Somebody thinks they're missing. Some family member somewhere thinks they're gone. Or maybe somebody's going to come up with another theory that the plane was virtually empty. I don't know, but I'd like to hear if somebody has the answer from the conspiracy side. Not denying that what it's saying is true here, because it looks, there's a lot of circumstantial evidence that would make me to believe it was a missile and not a plane that hit it. But I want to ask some answers to some tough questions, which seem pretty basic. Where are the people? You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We're coming up to a break time here. We'll be back with our final segment in just a minute.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time you're listening to a recording, calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time. Hello, this is Dr. John Coben. Get a copy of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, my latest book. You can buy it online from Alertness Books. The link is at the top of policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net. It's only $11, and it will help you think about the Christian's relationship to public policy and the nature of the state. Be sure to get a copy today of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
As long as the state, the agency of coercion, stands over society offering to dispense economic privilege to those who pay it homage, conferring an advantage on some men at the expense of other men, the misuse of political power should be the first line of attack for the moralist. It is inevitable that political privilege will be used in this way if it is available and begging to be used. No people has ever resisted it who have been led into this temptation. Reverend Edmund Oppitz, in The Libertarian Theology of Freedom, page 84. Warning: Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
And let us remind you, too, about the Greenville Conference of the Christian Exodus coming up on October 15th. Only a couple of weeks away now, a little more than 2 weeks away. 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., that's a Saturday, at the Hilton Hotel in downtown Greenville. Hope you'll be able to attend there. We need to try to fill up the seats for this event, folks. Of course, the Christian Exodus is part and parcel, for the most part, with the Constitution Party in trying to reform things here in South Carolina, bring greater liberty to the land and possibly even secession from the Union. You can sign up for the conference by calling the ChristianExodus.org group at 877-727-3578. That's 877-727-3578. I think you'd be glad you did call them and glad you've registered to find out what's going on with the Christian Exodus movement. It's an important movement that we wholeheartedly support here at the Tyranny Response Network. Speaking there, besides yours truly, Dr. John Coben, you'll have Mr. Michael Chapman, Mr. Arthur Bringelson, and Corey R. Burnell, MBA, who is the president of Christian Exodus. There'll be workshops and panels all day long, and in the evening they have even another conference. They'll be talking about the FTAA what's the guy's name? Chavito, that's coming here. Tancredo, that's coming here. I can't remember his name. Tancredo will be speaking in the evening on his views on immigration. And so all of that will be going on that Saturday, October 15th. If you can't attend, once again, the phone number, 877-727-3578. Hope you can attend. We also have pharmaceutical companies are using the free trade deals like CAFTA to eliminate global competition, says Adam Graham in this. I got another piece of paper yesterday at the Americans for Constitutional Government. That someone's claiming that they are using these CAFTA, this CAFTA theory to eliminate global competition and deny poor patients access to cheaper generic drugs. Well, that's an interesting concept. I don't know if it's true or not. Right now, in other countries, drugs are a lot cheaper than they are here. And, for instance, if you go to Chile or Peru, they're a whole lot cheaper than if you buy them in America. So would CAFTA reduce the price everywhere or raise the price everywhere? I mean, the reason they're cheaper in those other countries, one reason is they don't have regulation, is true. And but the other reason is they can't afford it. I mean, when you're in Peru making $100 a month or $200 a month versus somebody making several thousand dollars a month on average here in America, you can't afford to pay as much for a prescription. I mean, why would they pay $150 a month for a prescription or $200, $300 a month like some Americans do when it's an entire salary? They might as well die now. Might as well at least eat a few a little while and be miserable and then die. You can't afford it. So there's no way they're going to be able to just raise the prices against people that can't afford it. That's one reason they sell at a cheaper rate. So I'm not sure what this article or this claim could actually mean, that CAFTA somehow will raise prices in a monopoly form for the pharmaceutical companies. But I'd be interested in knowing if it's indeed possible. I just don't. Right now I can't conceive of how it could possibly be the case. I want to remind you, too, of Dr. Stephen Yates. Speaking of CAFTA, one of the greatest opponents of CAFTA and the FDA, AA in the upstate is Stephen Yates. He's got his new book out called Worldviews, Christian Theism versus Modern Materialism. You might want to get a copy of this book. I hope you do. It's a good book. Worldviews Project, you can write to the Worldviews Project care of Dr. Yates at 3500 Pelham Road, Suite 216. That's 3500 Pelham Road, Suite 216. Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. And the book costs about $20.99. He gives a discounted price if you make your note that you're a member of the Constitution Party of 1899. You probably would, too, if you're a Libertarian Party member, since he is a Libertarian. But this particular flyer I've got, it says Constitution Party price is $18.99. So, once again, the address, Worldviews Project, 3500 Pelham Road, Suite 216 in Greenville, 29615. Here's a hate on Capitol Hill hate crimes bill to muzzle Christians. House urges committee to include sexual orientation in federal law. This is coming from WorldNet Daily, posted last year. The House of Representatives has voted to urge a conference committee to add sexual orientation and gender disability to federal hate crimes law, a development some observers say would muzzle Christians who speak out against homosexuality. This is a great concern, of course, and this was reported last year, almost a year ago, on WorldNet Daily, and it is going on today. We have people continuing to hassle Christians. They are continuing to hassle Christians. Here's something similar. Judges rule against abortion protesters. This is from the Morning Call, September 24th, by Elliot Grossman. He says, in the continuing battle involving Allentown abortion protesters, a federal judge has rejected the protesters' request to hold the city in contempt of court. Eight frequent protesters at the Allentown Women's Center wanted top city officials fined $1,000 a day and possibly imprisoned for allegedly violating a judge's order governing their picketing. The protesters claim city police have restricted their protests, violating their constitutional rights. But U.S. District Judge James Noel Gardner in Allentown dismissed the contempt of court motion Wednesday because it is similar to other pending motions the protesters made to get the police to ease up on them. In that motion, the protesters want an injunction declaring that police violated the 2004 court order governing their picketing. The 2004 order, U.S. District Judge James McGeer Kelly, who has since died, created rules for the protesters and police to control where the abortion opponents could picket outside the center near Hanover Avenue. So here we have a setback, as we seem to frequently have, by the hand of the state against abortion protesting and against those who are involved in Operation Rescue and other kinds of groups like that. In Katrina's wake, Barbara Streisand, global warming emergency. Singer says for U.S. not to be part of the Kyoto Treaty is unforgivable. Oh, yes, please. There is no data to show that global warming has anything to do with this hurricane. It's all a bunch of myths. Give me a break. Despite statements to the contrary from the director of the National Hurricane Center, Barbara Streisand is declaring a global warming emergency. Oh, good. Let's... We are in a global warming emergency state, and these storms are going to become more frequent, more intense, said the singer, actress and liberal activist. She told Diane Sawyer that on ABC News. There could be more droughts, dust bowls. You know, it's just amazing to hear these facts. I mean, the Andes have no ice caps on the mountains in winter. The glaciers are melting. No ice caps on the mountains in winter? Look, lady, I was just down there, flew over them. There's a lot of ice. There's a lot of snow. This is nonsense. Glaciers are melting. I mean, for the United States not to be part of the Kyoto Treaty is unforgivable. This lady is living in a dream. She must be taking some kind of those 1960s-style drugs. Moving along in the article, it says, Streisand's comments go against the belief of meteorology expert Max Mayfield, head of the National Hurricane Center in Miami. The 1940s, he says, through the 1960s, experienced an above-average number of major hurricanes, while 1970s through mid-1990s averaged fewer hurricanes, Mayfield told the Senate Commerce, Science, and Transportation Committee Subcommittee on Disaster Protection and Prediction. The current period of heightened activity could last another 10 to 20 years or more. This increased activity is due to natural cycles of hurricane activity driven by the Atlantic Ocean itself, along with the atmosphere above it. Hurricane forecaster William Gray, a professor of atmospheric science at Colorado State University, also said a recent onslaught of storms is very much natural. Duh. I mean, yeah, you have some years you have more hurricanes than others. Okay, it's terrible. It's bad. Don't buy property until after the storm hits and you get it cheap. That's all you can say about this, folks. There is no global warming effect here causing hurricanes. Nonsense. And why should we listen to an actress like Barbara Streisand? Well, here's WorldNet Daily exclusive, Invasion USA. Now it's legal. Immigrants blasting Bush's sucker plan. Mired in red tape, they play by the rules at their peril, says John Daugherty. When civil unrest sparked by tough economic times overtook Eddie Sulliman's native land of Indonesia in 1990s, he was able to scrape together enough money to get himself and his family out. A Christian of Chinese ancestry, Sulaiman was victim of what he calls a dual minority status in his native land, the world's most populous Muslim country. The only solution he decided was to escape to America. He and tens of thousands of others like him may wind up becoming a casualty of U.S. immigration red tape, languishing bureaucracy until their temporary H-1B visas and work permits run out. The president's revised plan reportedly would allow scores of illegal aliens to stay in the U.S. as guest workers by allowing them to apply for a 3-year guest worker visa. If it happens, many will be forced to return to countries unable to match their opportunities in the U.S. at best, outright hostile at worst. So here we have Bush's plan not doing very well for these folks. At the time the bill was being considered, Representative Dave Weldon, Republican from Florida, said it appeared to be reward lawbreaking and sends the wrong message. There is a very long line for those who are waiting patiently to immigrate to the U.S. legally. This bill sends a message to those who are waiting to enter the U.S. legally that there are no real penalties for entering the U.S. illegally. Either way, I'm in favor of helping people like this guy from Indonesia come in. I don't care if he gets here illegally or not. If he's a Christian and he wants to get out of a communist state or a Muslim state or totalitarian regime that harms him, then I'm in favor of him coming here. I'll help him come here. And you should too if you're a Christian. There's no reason why we should care less what the federal government says or doesn't say about it. If there's a Christian suffering somewhere, you need to help him. I need to help him, and we should be willing to do so. So, end of story as far as I'm concerned. That's not that major of an issue to me, at any rate. I know that immigration is an issue. I know that there are people crossing the border illegally and it's causing problems. It's causing crime. And I'm opposed to people coming across the border, and causing crime in America and leaving trash on people's land and trespassing and so forth. Doesn't mean I want to shoot them instead of turn them back. But I think self-defense against invasion or people coming across is different than oppressing poor people who don't know any better. And if you want to really get the people who to stop letting immigrants come across, to keep people from coming across, then stop the businesses which encourage them to come over here. But you really can't do that because it's a free market. And, you know, unless you really want to have totalitarian control on things, there's another solution. That's why I suggest privatizing the border. I think a small regulated number of people crossing is the best solution, and it's best to be handled under the free market, which can check DNA, can check, you know, backgrounds, and find out the skill set that people have as they come across the board. Not a government agency, not a bureau, but rather, instead, the free market regulation of the whole thing. That's my opinion. If you want to read it, you can go on policyofliberty.net and scroll down and find my immigration articles on under the alt articles and papers link at policyofliberty.net. We thank you for listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben today. Glad you joined us. Hope we made your day brighter and hope we'd helped you think a little bit better. Spread the word about us being in Spartanburg at 87.9, as well as in Greenville, 97.7, Powdersville, Piedmont, 96.5 on the FM dial. And we look forward to seeing you again here tomorrow for another edition of Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Until then, God bless you.
Thank you for joining us today on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We hope you will be with us tomorrow morning at 7:30 right here at the Tyranny Response Network for Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.